how you orient yourself in the morning is going to set the parameters of what you do throughout the day. It seems simple, but it is literally the most important advice I think I could give you today. To start your day with the Word of God. And when you do that, to meditate on that throughout the day. And he says, I'll be satisfied when I remember you on my bed. The end of your day. Start your day with the Word and end your day reflecting on all the things that God has done.
Today on the Song Time broadcast, we prepare ourselves for Thanksgiving as we think about how to appropriately respond to the gifts that God has given to us by giving thanks. We start our day with prayer and in the Word, and we end our day by counting our blessings, naming them one by one. Stay tuned for that message from Psalm 63, but first, we'll be joined by our good friend Jared Wilson as we talk about his latest Christmas devotional. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. Our guest today on the broadcast is our good friend, Jared Wilson, and he's written an excellent book for Advent called Gifts of Grace. And I know what you're thinking. It is way too early to start talking about Christmas. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. Give it a rest. But we want you to get a copy of this book because it's a devotional for Advent. So it'll give you something to read each day, and you need to get a copy early. So now is the time to let you know. And Jared, to that point, Christmas is a season that gets a lot of people riled up, especially with those who started celebrating weeks and months ago. They're a part of the problem. I typically don't like to think about Christmas before Thanksgiving, but also I found this to be a challenge where a lot of people will celebrate Christmas so much before Christmas actually begins, the first 25 days, that once we get to the 26th, nobody wants to hear Christmas songs again. Long gone are the 12 days of Christmas, and in some sense, something is lost in this whole season of Advent and building anticipation to celebrate Christmas for those 12 days. But I'm not going to be a culture warrior. That's not going to win in any battle. But tell us a little bit about your book here and why it's a great study for the Advent season.
Yeah, well, so I mean, I'll cop to being guilty of that in some respects. My wife even more so. So normally we have our tree and our house kind of decorated interior by the end of October. She does it up as a party. There's some young ladies who come from the church and they spend all day Saturday helping my wife. You know, she cooks for the whole day. She has a whole kind of buffet spread, and they turn, you know, this house into Christmas joy. And we start listening to Christmas music really early and all those sorts of things. Brother, I think that a lot of that is just a part of the yearning for what we want Christmas to be. You know, everything, especially the nostalgia piece of it, you know, the reason why we, you know, the Christmas music that we hear every year becomes so treasured and kind of transports us in some way. The reason why the old Christmas movies and even some of the new kind of Hallmarky movies, we love that kind of small town. There's a vibe, there's a feeling. I think it's largely nostalgia. And even for younger people, it's a nostalgia, even for a time that when they weren't even around, right? It's underneath. It's a longing for heaven. It's a longing for a sense of being at home. It's a sense of family and all those sorts of things. And our heart yearns for it so much that we want to have it as soon as we can and for as long as we can, which is why I think we've kind of flipped some of the Christmas celebrations and expectations. Now, on the crass side of things, you know, consumeristically, it's, you know, the stores are trying to make money by putting, you know, that's why the trees are up in the middle of October and, you know, on the consumeristic level. But for a lot of us, I think it's just that we just want this Christmas feeling. And we think if we can draw it out and start early, we can kind of approach this feeling in ways that we couldn't otherwise.
Well, I think that what you're building on is the desire of what Advent is supposed to do, is to cultivate that desire and to put it in perspective. And you do that beautifully with your book. You talk about it in the construct of like an Advent calendar, each day a little tiny gift building up to the big gift. So tell us a little bit about the structure of your book.
Yeah, it's exactly that. You know, the idea originally was, how do I help readers see the resilience, the versatility, and the bigness of the good news of Jesus. This has been kind of the theme of, you know, my ministry for the last 15 years or so. Way back, 10 years or so ago, I wrote a book called Gospel Deeps that was kind of around this idea of the gospel as a diamond and kind of looking at every facet of that diamond. It's one song, but it has many notes to it. So if you're looking at the good news message of the cross and resurrection, you have to have that to have the good news. But there's so much embedded in that union with Christ, reconciliation with the Father, adoption, the facets of the atonement itself, propitiation and expiation and a substitution, all these sorts of things. And so the idea for this Advent book was to say, well, how about every day we kind of look at a different facet of the gospel? And that kind of, you know, gave me the light bulb idea of treating it like an Advent calendar. What if every day you're sort of, opening up a new kind of, window or new door into a gift that we receive, through the good news of Jesus Christ. So each day, all 25 days in the book, work through a different gift that we receive by grace because of what Christ has done for us.
We've been talking with our good friend Jared Wilson about his excellent Advent devotional. It's called Gifts of Grace. It's a great resource. In fact, each chapter is an individually wrapped present. It's like opening presents each day, an Advent calendar to that regard, a reminder of the riches and the glory of the gospel and what Christ has given to us through the work of the cross. This is an excellent book, and one thing that we try to challenge you with every single day is to hold the gospel before your eyes, to capture your heart, capture your affections, and to keep your focus. This book will help you do that all throughout the Advent season in preparation for Christmas. Find out more information about the book by giving us a call, 508-362-7070, or head over to our website at songtime.com. We're talking about gifts and the treasures of our heart. Today, we're preparing ourselves for Thanksgiving as we count our blessings, as we consider all of the good things that we have and the things that we ought to hold and cherish. We are also reminded of the warning to not treasure the gift over the giver of the gift. That's what we call idolatry, when you treasure the gift more than the one who is giving it to you. And since all good things come from God, we must first and foremost consider our thanksgiving to God, who has blessed us in this world and with all the riches of his blessings. In this message, I unpack Psalm 63 that helps us count our blessings and puts us in a proper understanding of priorities in our lives. Here is Psalm 63.
Your Bibles have these little inscriptions, and they give us some context to where these psalms were written. And this one is inscribed, a psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. During this time period in David's life, he was in the wilderness of Judah for a very particular reason. He was running from his son Absalom, who was trying to kill him so that he could take the throne. And David's response in the middle of this crisis in his life is not to focus on his problem, but to focus on something else entirely. He says in verse 1, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. This is the same word that we see in Hebrews 11:6, that God rewards those who diligently and earnestly seek him. That's great. That's what I want. But how does that work? What does it actually look like? And how do I do that in such a way that's sustainable and rewarding and satisfying, especially when the circumstances around me are not so? David gives us some insight into that. First and foremost, in verse 2, he says, my soul, or the end of verse 1, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. This is a parallel to Psalm 42. You know Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, this beautiful picture, this serene green valley with this deer who's sitting by a bed of water. No. Psalm 42 is about a desert and a deer who has gone to all of its watering holes and finds that they don't contain water anymore. The psalmist David is saying here in this context, he's saying, I'm thirsting for you because there is nothing else. Does your soul seek the Lord in that way? We see in verse 2, David is actually showing us and modeling for us how we seek the Lord. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. And I would say the first thing that we need to do to regenerate that passion and that desire that we have in our hearts is to look. You need to preach the gospel to yourself. You need to draw near to the cross. You need to be rekindled by that fire, because you cannot sustain this on your own. You cannot walk away from the heat and hold on to that heat. You have to come back to it, to be warmed up by the hearth. We need church to minister the gospel, to wash over us. We need fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I got to tell you, once a week is not enough, especially in the climate in which world, the coldness of the world in which we live. It says here in verse 3, because your steadfast love is better than life. In Hebrew, this word, steadfast love, translated in many different ways, mercy in different ways. The word is chesed. It's a real Hebrew word. You got to have that guttural. Chesed. It's a hard word to translate into English, to be honest with you. But it is always tied to the covenant of God, that he has made a promise to us that he will not break. This is the gospel in the Old Testament. This is a reminder that it is God's work, not our work, that saves us. And that is comforting, is it not? That it's not dependent upon you, because you know how easy it is for you to grow cold. You know how easy it is to stumble and fall. You know how it feels to be empty. Praise God, it's not about you. It's about what Christ has done for you. And it is his promises, not your promises, that assure you closeness to Christ. Because of your steadfast love, because it is better than life, my lips will praise you. And here is the next admonition I would give to you. In the middle of your anxiety, in the middle of your fear, in the middle of your struggle, you praise the Lord. You want to know how to seek the Lord? Thirst for him. Look to him and praise him. Verse 5, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When will it happen? When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. This psalm gives us a prescription. Earnestly I seek you. But it also carries that weight of early, when you begin your day with the Lord. How you orient yourself in the morning is going to set the parameters of what you do throughout the day. It seems simple, but it is literally the most important advice I think I could give you today. To start your day with the Word of God. And when you do that, to meditate on that throughout the day. And he says, I'll be satisfied when I remember you on my bed. The end of your day. Start your day with the Word and end your day reflecting on all the things that God has done. And don't wander away from that. Cling to him, it says in verse 8. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. This, in Hebrew, the right hand is his strength. His strength will uphold you. You are not strong enough to face the troubles in this world. That's true. You're not. This is why you get crushed. Have you been crushed lately? I have. You get crushed because you are not strong enough. This world will destroy you. You cannot face these troubles alone. It is God's strength that upholds you. So don't wander from the shelter of his wing. The last three verses here show us the dichotomy of this. He says, but those who seek to destroy my life shall be go down into the depths of the earth. This is a contrast of seeking. Listen to this. This is a contrast of seeking. David is seeking the Lord with his whole heart. He is earnestly seeking him, but his son Absalom is seeking power and kingdom and control. I mean, this is a pretty heavy thing for David to experience. But Absalom is seeking something that even if he got it, it would not make him happy. Think through this now. If Absalom was able to kill his father and take the throne by force, do you think that would give him peace at night? Do you think he'd sleep well? They shall be given over to the power of the sword. Live by the sword, die by the sword. And they shall be a portion for jackals. And when you serve the treasures of this world, you will go down with them, be burned up with them. And verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult. The mouths of liars will be stopped. All who seek the Lord will be lifted up. All who surrender to Christ will be raised with Christ. We have to acknowledge that we have been terrible masters of our own fate, terrible at managing our own treasures And they always feel like they're just out of reach. They're too much to hold on to. And in this psalm, we are told if you want to hold on to the treasures that you have, you have to let them go and cling to Christ. Seek the Lord. Thirst for him. Look to his Son. Praise him for the work that he has done. Remember him. Meditate on the good deeds that he has done. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. When you gather with your friends and your family during this Thanksgiving season, when you cross paths with your neighbors, be sure to be a witness by showing to them the greatest treasure of your heart, the thing that you are most thankful for. I hope and I pray that it's Jesus Christ, the one who gives us all good things. You have an opportunity during this holiday season to be a witness. In fact, I've written an article recently for our latest publication called A Gospel Refresher, How to Refresh Ourselves in the Gospel so that we can present the gospel and this good news to those around us. We want to encourage you to be evangelistic. Have your mind set on all of the people in your life that you want to share the gospel with and be intentional about your conversation. Here's an idea. With Thanksgiving around the corner and their opportunities abounding, ask people what they're thankful for. And then when they ask you what you're thankful for, be sure to include the gospel presentation. It's that simple. Share with them the riches of knowing that we have been forgiven by the grace of God who died in our place. And we give thanks to God because all of the gifts that we have, our family, our home, every single little treasure we have, is ultimately a gift from the one who blesses us above and beyond what we could even ask or think. So as you consider what to give thanks for this year and you consider all of the people around you who are going to be listening to you share what you're thankful for, be sure to make sure. Do not pass up this opportunity. Don't pass this open door to share the gospel. And of course, as you count your blessings, begin each day in your personal life with the reminder of the gospel. Preach the gospel to yourselves. Hold that in front of your eyes and set your prayers and your target in your mind to say, Lord, reveal to me the people that cross my path and the opportunities that I have to share my faith. And then on the other end of it, as you go to bed, count your blessings. Don't count sheep. I hope that this encourages you, and I hope that as you have been blessed, you will be a blessing to us in return. As we get closer to the end of our year, we are really dependent upon your contributions. If you've been blessed by the Songtime Ministry, don't forget us in your end of the year giving. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime and our late founder, Dr. John DeBrine, who has always encouraged you to grow in grace so that you won't groan in disgrace, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse for today, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.